Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful Overbooked. It's the weekend, but it's a special weekend. Jeremy, have you busted out your cheesecake yet?
No, I don't like cheesecake. This is well established. Why are we having cheesecake?
It's Royal Rumble weekend, baby. We do cheesecake on Royal Rumble weekend. Do you not know this meme?
No, absolutely not.
It's less fun when I had to explain it, but basically a guy on Reddit like 4 or 5 years ago was just like, hey, I'm making food for the Rumble. What should I make? I got a cheesecake in the oven. And then everyone was like, dude, the Rumble's next week.
Okay.
So, cheesecake.
I don't like it.
I like blueberry. Cherry. What about lemon meringue pie? You like lemon? Newsworthy. Top 5 stories on the board. We talk about the ones that were good and the ones that maybe you didn't see. Jeremy, how are you doing? How was your week?
It was good. I'm good. I'm ready to royally rumble.
Let's go. By the way, if you're watching us Saturday morning here on youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked, we will have a watch along for the Royal Rumble. So go check that out. We'll be live for the Rumble watch along. And if you're watching us after the fact and the Rumble's already passed, go turn on the Rumble watch along anyway, because I'm sure someone said some really stupid and funny stuff. Let's move on because we have stupid and funny stuff to talk about here today. Number 5, Bray Wyatt discusses his mindset following his WWE release and fans leading him back. Bray Wyatt was on the Ryan Satin Out of Character podcast talking about his time away from WWE and stuff that he did, including filming a movie with Jason Baker. Talk to me. Why are we talking about Bray Wyatt on Out of Character?
I don't know how out of character this was for Bray Wyatt. So Satin had like tweeted like, if I were to interview Bray Wyatt in character on Out of Character, what questions would you ask? So it gave the impression that it was out of character or that it was in character, but then you listen to him talk and it sounded like it might be a little bit out of character. Some of the stuff, other stuff sounded like it might be like, we're just adding to the storyline type thing. It was an interesting interview because you know, Bray doesn't do a lot of these. I was somebody as someone who covers the news and like looks and listens for all these podcasts and interviews and stuff, when Bray got released in July of now 2 years ago, like I was waiting for that podcast to drop. I was waiting for him to tell his side of the story. He even tweeted of like, wait till you hear my side type of thing. And it never came. I didn't know when it was going to come. He did the Wyatt Six. It seemed like that was going to be like a podcast thing. There were a lot of clues and stuff that he might do a pot, and it just never came. And it never came, never came, never came. And then he came back to WWE, and this is his first like real big interview in a very long time. So I don't know when Bray's in character, when Bray's out of character, because he does these so rarely, it's tough to know where the line is drawn. And I think that's the way he wants it. He wants to blur everything and it adds to the mystique and the lore of stuff, which I'm all for. But I found it just to be an interesting interview because you just don't hear from Bray Wyatt a lot. So I imagine a lot of this stuff is true. The way he felt about himself, the way he like is mentally preparing for his return, which is may have already happened depending on when you listen to this. Everything he went through during his release in losing his friend when he talks about losing Brody as well, and just the fans like wanting him back, missing him, and all of this stuff. Like I believe all of this to be true. But then there are other aspects of it that I think are just like lore and character stuff. But it's a fascinating interview just because you don't hear from Bray Wyatt a lot. And the character himself, the man himself, is just a kind of a fascinating person.
I really wanted to do Talk as Jericho, man. But then they said, maybe don't do Talk as Jericho, man. No, this was, like you said, this is a really interesting conversation. Mostly because Bray doesn't do a lot of them. And on top of that, when he did this one, it was more in character than out of character, which I take it or leave it. I know some people are going to be, you know, just, they don't,
I don't know how much was in character though. I really don't, because I don't know where the line is with Bray Wyatt. I think some of it may have been, but there's some stuff that the stuff he was saying actually sounded like, oh yeah, this makes sense from a behind the scenes perspective. So, and obviously he's not going to give away everything of like, well, hey, who's Uncle Howdy? He's not just going to completely reveal all of this stuff. And the questions were, I imagine there were parameters to it and stuff of like, hey, when'd you find out about your release? Like, they didn't really get into any of that. But I do think for the most part, he was speaking as like genuine Bray Wyatt. And I could be completely wrong. This whole person might be, I just don't know, because we don't hear from him very often. It's very easy to tell where the character stops and starts for most of these people who, you know, do vlogs and do a million interviews and everything. Because Bray, you only, what you see is what you get on television, and then he tweets every now and again. Like, you just don't know where it all stops and starts for him.
You know what they should have done, and it would have been perfect? They should have had Uncle Howdy show up at the end of the interview. Then we would have known that everything that Bray said, regardless of whether or not it was true, just like completely throw it into a, just throw it into disarray.
I mean, maybe, yeah, that certainly could have been something. I mean, maybe in the video version, which was not out by the time I listened to it, maybe that actually does happen, and that's something you got to watch for the extra lore of Bray Wyatt, the Uncle Howdy attacking him, but it's only on the video, not the audio version.
Oh, man, they would have promoted the hell out of that.
Well, again, by the time people listen to this, it might be out. That comes out at 11 o'clock today, Thursday. It's 9 o'clock, so there's still 2 hours.
I think today's still Friday.
Whatever. I don't know what days of the week are. It's day. Thursdays are
the busiest day. It's day. It's an ends in Y, so it's got to be dropping today.
It's just a day. Every day is just a day.
As Pete O'D said, every day is a new day.
That's right.
Anyway, let's move on. I think we've sufficiently made ourselves crazy. Speaking of crazy, Ethan Page says, everyone loved Elias and Ezekiel, but I killed the business as Karate Man. Ethan Page appearing on Swoggle's Going Postal with Dylan Postal, who is also known as formerly known as Hornswoggle, now Swoggle. They're good friends, so clearly this is going to be a fun conversation, and it was. Talk to me. Ethan Page, Karate Man, killing the business, as the Young Bucks would say.
It was a really fun interview. Ethan Page is a great interview just in general. And Swoggle, yeah, they have a good relationship. They're really good friends. So easy, free flow and conversation. Those are always the best. And you get like fun stories like this. There's some other really fun stories in there. As far as like this story, I just thought it was funny because Karate Man, I thought it was like, it was during the pandemic, right? So you can only do so much. And Ethan Page decided to set up a green screen and do Bruce Lee, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Bloodsport type shit. And it popped me. I guess some people didn't like it, but I thought it was funny. And it sounded like he had different ideas for it. Impact wanted to go one way, and that's what they ended up doing. And then Ethan Page was killed by Karate Man, or Karate Man was killed by Ethan. Whatever happened there happened. It wrote him off of Impact Television. He drops in there that, you know, he could have turned on Josh Alexander, but it sounded like he didn't want to do that because there was probably more money to be made down the line with that than give it away in front of no fans during the pandemic on Impact. So I understand his point of view there. It's a good conversation. I'm really largely putting this over because I didn't realize Hornswoggle had a podcast until I stumbled upon this interview with Ethan Page. And he seems like a good interview, and he's got the respect of a lot of people in the business, and he has fun with a lot of people. So it was good stuff.
I don't think a lot of people understand. Are you saying the respect Ethan Page has the respect a lot of people, or Hornswoggle does, or both?
Hornswoggle.
Okay, I'm just making sure, because I was going to mention with Ethan Page, you know, he had his own promotion here outside of Toronto in Hamilton called A1, where a lot of big stars would come around and do really well there. And because of that, you know, you garner a very positive following if you're, you know, doing the bare minimum of promoting a show and paying your talent. So I hear that. But also with Swoggle, you're right. He has the respect of a lot of his peers. I think he's been proven to work hard, and that's a really positive thing to have when you're trying to do things like, I don't know, make appearances, get a podcast going. So yeah, this is a good conversation, especially talking about how Ethan Page kind of juggled being Karate Man, getting double booking, getting paid for his work. That was really good stuff. So go check this out. This is a really interesting conversation between the two. Let's move on. Chris Jericho says, whenever Swerve Strickland is on TV, the ratings go up. First of all, do we have proof of this? Second of all, Chris Jericho's talking to my favorite, Mark Maron, who still hasn't gotten back to me about doing a show here on Overbooked. Come on, very Mark, sad. Let's talk. Let's do very it. Sad. We can do it. Let's go. WTF can stand for wrestling the fans.
Why would you want to wrestle the fans?
I don't know. Some fans are just absolutely awful.
I mean, I guess, but I don't know if Mark Maron's the guy you want to like wrestle them.
Maybe verbally, because he, you know, wrestling the fandom, because he's starting to get into wrestling. Anyway, Mark Maron is a prolific podcaster of his own right, and he has started interviewing wrestlers lately as part of a mini series from his experience at AEW. Talk to me about his experience with Jericho.
It was a fun conversation. Jericho is Jericho. He's always going to give you a little something in these stories and stuff. But because Mark Maron is not like a big fan, this is the whole point of this series is like Mark Maron gets into wrestling type of thing. His co-host is a big fan though, and is like trying to explain everything to him. So his co-host is there and kind of guiding things and leading things a little bit more, which is great. Jericho mentions of like, you know, I meticulously look at the ratings. I look at it minute by minute stuff and everything. And then he mentions Swerve as a guy who, yeah, the ratings go up whenever he's on television, and Swerve hasn't been on television for about 3 weeks now. So maybe that's why they're struggling to crack a million until this past week. But this is a lesson in kind of almost Twitter engagement a little bit, new sit. Wow, wow, wow. So this is a lesson in that, like I could have headlined something like Chris Jericho. I look at the minute by minute ratings. Like it's very important, and probably just gotten a bunch of dorks quote tweeting of like, Jericho, what an idiot. Like, or Jericho, see the ratings matter and all of this stuff, like a bunch of like ratings talk and stuff. Right. That definitely could have happened. And I still got it out of this headline because you just put ratings in a headline. People are going to feel how they feel about ratings. But I wanted to put Swerve in there because I figured Swerve would boost it up a little bit, and he did. He retweeted it and everything, and I wanted to kind of just put Swerve over a little bit because I like Swerve, and it does seem like the ratings do go up. The minute by ratings do go up when Swerve is on. I'm gonna sort of trust Chris Jericho on this as someone who looks at these numbers and everything. And he mentions Tony Khan is also a dork and looks at these numbers, is very much a numbers guy, which is why it's weird that Swerve hasn't been on TV. Maybe I don't know what they're doing, but whatever the case may be. This is a lesson in like, hey, if you can like put somebody over in a headline, I know we all like the burial headlines and stuff, and you know those get a lot of engagement as well, but if you can sometimes put people over in headlines instead of just, hey, let's look on a headline for just to dunk on, that can work in your benefit too. So don't be afraid to actually, you know, put it out there that talent is putting over talent in these interviews.
I want to make sure we got that out of the way because I missed the cue earlier.
Good job.
Yes. No, this is good. It's a good conversation. Go check out WTF. This was the premium version. So this was the early edition. So it hasn't dropped yet officially, right?
I don't know. I pay my $5 to get to the whatever. I didn't know there was I thought this is the only way. I guess, yeah, there's a free version, but I ain't waiting for that stuff. I need the early access to all of these things.
Yeah, without plugging them, the free version I think is in a month, and then you can do a paid version where
month.
Yeah, they're waiting like a month from when they recorded all these interviews because it's a mini.
It is a mini series. Yeah, well, I definitely couldn't wait that long. The moment I saw that like this was a thing and he was dropping these and stuff, I messaged the people I needed to message and I said, "Can I get this?" And they said yes. And I said, all right, that's all I need to know. I didn't realize if I didn't do it, I'd have to wait an entire month. That sounds absurd.
Why? I'm trying to think. Why didn't I get you in contact with Brandon, who is the co-host you mentioned, but he's also the producer of the show? I should have put you two in touch and just been like, hey, get him this stuff.
I don't know. Why didn't you, Joel Pearl? What are you good for if you can't do these things for me?
Sometimes you just got to ask me these things. Because when you asked me, you were like, are you subscribed to Full Marin? And I was just like, nope. And yeah.
I asked you that and you just said no. And that was it. How am I supposed to know that you know this Brandon person and you could have gotten me in contact? I don't know these things. The moment you said no, I don't subscribe, I'm thinking, all right, well, you don't know anything as usual, Joel. So what am I supposed to think?
I know plenty. I'm just cheap. Starting to sound like my wife. Let's move on, please. Kylie Rae reflects on her WWE tryout and WWE main event bout, continues to do extra work but is not signed. She was on the Going Broadway podcast, was Kylie Rae. This is also something that FIFA Select had reported when we were going through some free agency news. Kylie Rae showed up, had a tryout, appeared on Main Event, and is still taking independent bookings. So I guess this is, you can put two and two together. Talk to me about Going Broadway and Kylie Rae.
I really like the guys at Going Broadway. They do a good job. They have a good relationship with Kylie. She's been on their show like a lot. And they talk about it on the show. And it's nice because like they understand, there's news to be had here and stuff, but they're respectful to the guests, especially if they know them well. And it's just a good conversation overall, but they ask good follow-up questions. I think they're just really good interviewers. And so everyone check out the work they did with Kylie in past interviews and just their podcast in general. As far as Kylie Rae goes, it was cool just to hear like everything that went into the WWE tryout and stuff, because there was the talk for the longest time that was true of like they're kind of moving away from independent wrestlers. Triple H comes back and then we start to see them going a little bit more towards independent wrestlers and stuff again. And Kylie has been a big name on the independent scene for a long time, and she's obviously had the stays with AEW and Impact and everything, so she's well known, and she's had her issues that she's very open and honest about, and she was open and honest about it on this podcast as well. And it was interesting to hear her say like, yeah, I'm still doing like extra work, but you know, when you're brought into like television and stuff, you're not always used. Like she even said like, hey, on like AEW, you know, typically if you go and you're like an extra on AEW, you're probably just getting like a match on Dark or something. Like you're probably just going to end up at some point doing some type of work, doing some type of match. WWE, you're just kind of like brought there and you might not do anything. You might just be chilling. But she's still there at these WWE shows. She's just not having matches, or she's not in backstage segments or anything. So it sounds like she's close-ish to signing. I wouldn't be shocked if we saw her in the Rumble tonight. I would not be surprised if there's a Rumble appearance here for her.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I guess we'll find out soon enough when the Rumble airs Saturday evening. But I do have to put over this podcast, and especially the transcription. It comes off as a very transparent and authentic conversation with Kylie Rae and Going Broadway. They talk about sobriety. They talk about her mental health. They talk about like who she worked with. Like she had a couple of practice matches. She shouts out Thea Hale and Fallon Henley, who was Tesha Price on the Indies, and they worked together in Rise. And it's a really, really interesting conversation. I do recommend checking it out. This is really good stuff. I personally really like this article, and I really like this this podcast. So good stuff.
This is another lesson in I guess you want to hit it, Joel. Yeah, finger. Clip that. So like you can get, and I've talked about this before, but I'm mentioning it here again. It's a long conversation with Kylie. This is legitimately like overall like a 2-hour podcast, I feel like. And there's certainly like sectors of this article that you could like break down. Like you could just do like talk about the main event match, talk about the tryout, talk about the name change. Like you could break this down and get like 3 articles out of this whole thing. Right. But like sometimes it's important to like tell the overall story when it's something like this. And that's what I wanted to do with this article and with this interview of like, hey, it is just her WWE experience in general. And it was only like a week long experience. So let's put it all into one thing instead of chopping it up just to get multiple articles out of it. Cause I don't always feel that serves the audience best of like just getting multiple articles just for extra clicks and whatnot and extra link backs and everything. No, just like sometimes you just got to tell the entire story with it. And this was all her WWE experience. And this was all the story that went into that. So I thought it was important to just put it all into one article.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. And like I said, it worked. It's a good article, great conversation. So go check it out. And again, the articles are all linked in the description of the video. And also if you're on podcast, they're also in the links there and on Fightful.com. Just go find them. Easy to do. Let's find our last article here. Visual concepts designers discuss implementing war games into WWE 2K23. Jeremy and I are prolific video game players, I guess. Go to twitch.tv/FightfulGaming to find out more. We found out about 2K23 a little bit this week, including the implementation of war games. Talk to me about this conversation on Wrestle Buddies with the Visual Concepts team. I can't speak today.
Shout out to Wrestle Buddies. They do a lot of gaming podcasts. A lot of prominent people in the wrestling world, especially the gaming side. Adam Cole, Xavier Woods, they've been on there a bunch of times. And then they had the people from Visual Concepts. But I wanted to sort of mention them because it seems like the podcast might be going away with the changes at GameSpot and stuff. And that's very unfortunate. It's always unfortunate when, you know, people just lose their job when it comes to this space. And, you know, we've seen a lot of that for people who don't follow like SB Nation and Vox Media. Like a lot of really talented people have laid off because of everything that's happening over there. And Wrestle Buddies is something that is taking a hit in this landscape, in this space right now as well. So that's very unfortunate, and best of luck to those guys, whatever happens next. This was actually recorded before like all of that came down. So they were like, we still want to release this podcast because it's recorded, it's out there, and then whatever happens sort of happens. As far as the interview goes, yes, this dropped the same day that like the 2K23 stuff dropped, of Cena's going to be on the cover, pre-order, all that good stuff. And it was just interesting to hear how like you implement something like war games and the difficulties, because I think sometimes, I mean, I don't know how much people know like how much this goes into like these video games and stuff. It seems very simple of like, hey, why can't you just like put this in the game? And there's a lot that just goes into that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of trial and error and everything. And they talk about like, you know, we started working on this as part of like 2K22, and it seemed like it just wasn't going to be ready for 2K22, and they didn't want to half-ass put it out there. So they decided to, you know, wait until 2K23. And you know, it mentioned of like, you can put weapons in the match. You can bring the weapons in the ring. You can go on top of the cage, climb around, do some stuff off the cage and everything. So seems like a lot that goes into it. War Games is obviously a big time match in the WWE universe and just the wrestling universe. So it'll be cool that it's going to be playable in 2K23. And after the success of 2K22, which was a good game, we played it a little bit on stream. I'm more excited for 2K23. I think that this year's game will be really fun to play. So I look forward to it. And this was just a fun conversation if you are interested in the like behind the scenes work that goes into like putting together a wrestling video game.
By the way, there are a couple of episodes in our archives of us playing 2K23. Ignore the part where we spend 20 plus minutes waiting for a simulated match to end in Hell in a Cell.
Oh yeah, that was a long one. That was a marathon.
That was also, just to be fair, that was when the game had just been released and they hadn't really done much in terms of like bug fixes and things like that. This was a really weird bug that we stumbled upon. It didn't affect the game other than just a repeating motion of two wrestlers doing the same thing over and over again and not ending the match. But go check out those videos because they're actually very funny. And you, me, and Mike Straw have a really fun rapport as we're watching this madness unfold.
I assume I will be getting 2K23. I assume I will be playing that on the Twitch as well once it comes out in March. So everyone, if you haven't, go subscribe to our follow our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. I know that people might watch our post shows and stuff on there, but I'm very proud that I've been good about like being consistent with going on there and playing games weekly, sometimes twice a week, and just, you know, getting the gaming stuff going back on. I usually only play for like an hour and a half. It's not super long or anything, but I'm enjoying playing games that I've played in the past or playing games that I've never played before when it comes to wrestling. And I'm looking to just kind of keep that up, keep moving forward with that. And you can either watch the videos on demand on Twitch for as long as they stay up, or you can, if you're subscribed to this channel, Fightful Overbooked, all the gaming streams will hit on this channel at some point.
There we go. That's all you need to say. You want to wrap up your plugs right now while we're at it?
Don't follow me on Twitter. Follow Steven Jensen on Twitter @FightTalk_. We have the Spotlight Thursdays, 9:30 a.m. Eastern, although I think we're doing 8:30 a.m. Eastern the next 2 weeks because of scheduling everything. But if everything works out, We have very fun guests, very fun two guests this upcoming week. This past week, we interviewed Mose from Kill or Be Killed. He told some great stories of like riding in the car with Nick Gage and things like that. Nick Gage goes to Sonic. Everyone wants to learn. Everyone wants to hear about Nick Gage going to Sonic. So go check out the spotlight. Check out Fightful Overbooked. And if you're watching this on Saturday when this drops, we have a Royal Rumble watch along tonight during the Royal Rumble. I might show up. Probably not. I don't like anybody that much to want to hang out with you guys. And then we got a bunch of other stuff. Joel did a Royal Rumble preview. We have our Royal Rumble betting odds preview with myself and Jared Bailey. We have Coexisting. We have a new show this coming week, Indeed, with Mike and Righteous Reg. Righteous Reg from Grapsody, who everybody knows. They're going to cover the world of independent wrestling. They're going to do some interviews and stuff too. So that's a new show that's coming up on the channel this week. We have a lot of fun stuff in store already happening for 2023. And so, you know, give us some thumbs up and some subscriptions and some follows and all that fun, cool stuff.
Come and hang out with us sometime, would you? Maybe on Saturday night at the Royal Rumble watch along. A little birdie told me that a certain scoopster who was in San Antonio might also drop in. So there you go. Come and hang out with us.
Denise Salcedo?
Yes, I got Denise Salcedo.
That's a big get. She doesn't even message me back.
I know, right? I'm at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L, ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary. Enjoy the Royal Rumble and enjoy your week, and we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.